That song, it still plays me wrong. Everybody sings along. I need a drink of something strong. That smell reminds me of you.
Drunk on Comics Special Edition. The interviews from C2E2 Part 1.
AKA The Drunken Night.
Oh yeah, it was. Yep, these are fun ones. Well, partly day going into night, but they're all, I don't know, just great.
Yeah, we definitely had a lot of fun there. C2E2, so we've got an interesting assortment, I think, on the first day of what we got. Started out with meeting some guys that we've talked about on the show before with the flasks, and you probably heard about it already, Ink Whiskey.
Yep, that was great. Then we got to go talk to one of my favorite websites, Dorkly.com. Their whole crew was there with a fan room, not full of fans, but for the fans. And that was just a great nerdy talking interview.
Random discussion.
Yes, yeah. That was fun.
Yep, got to talk to Victor Dandridge, who, you know, the 8-bit guy. Mm-hmm. And that was so much fun on that one. I kind of wish we would have been recording before and after the interview.
Yep, and then we also got to speak with one of our, he's the highest interviewed person we have.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, he. I don't know. Someone needs to take that mantle from him. But Dirk Manning,
Along with Seth DeMoose, talking about the book that they're working on right now, and then we got a quick little follow up with Seth as well.
Yes, that was a great interview.
Yeah,
best we've ever had.
Yep. And then Ryan Brown, I think, is what we finished out the night with that night, talking about God Hates Astronauts.
Yep. So all in all, great, great episode. Hope you guys enjoy it.
All right.
All right, listeners, we are with Johnny here from Ink Whiskey. They are the makers of these really sweet entertainment flasks that we talked about a couple weeks ago / a month or two ago on the podcast.
How long ago did the
Kickstarter go?
Man, this was the Kickstarter ended, I think, 6 months ago. And about 5 months ago.
Yeah, it was a while back.
It was a while long.
We drink a lot, so we forget time.
That's true. Yeah, we time travel a bit. So
yeah,
it really doesn't seem that long, even to me. Everything happened so fast. You know, we asked for 12,000 on the Kickstarter, ended up getting 40,000 through it, and so through that, we were able to think bigger and start thinking about stuff like conventions and stuff like that. So it's been just a crazy ride.
Well, for some of our new listeners who may not have been here 5 months ago, tell us a little bit about what these things are.
Well, this is basically, we took an original Nintendo cartridge, we made a mold of it, and we turned it into a flask. And the way that happened was one of the owners of the company, the CEO of the company, is a flight attendant for an airline. And people would always try to sneak alcohol onto the airline and stuff like that. And he was like, man, if I was going to sneak alcohol onto a plane, how would I do it? And we're all into retro gaming. We're all nerds and stuff like that. And this is what came out of that. Through some conversations, through sitting at a bar, you know. And, yeah, and so here it is. So we started the Kickstarter. Got more support than we could ever dream of, and we wanted to build on it from there. We didn't want to be one of the Kickstarters that kind of fall apart after everything comes together. So
I was thrilled when I walked by and saw that. Holy shit, there they are! Because I unfortunately didn't hop on the Kickstarter. I should have, but I didn't. And so,
well, thank you.
Yeah. We promote. We don't always have the cash.
No, I know that.
So to see you guys here, oh my God, that was fantastic.
Dude, thank you guys so much for talking about us and, you know, stopping by and stuff like that. I'm actually losing my voice because I've been talking to so many people, and so many people have seen us on Reddit, and they've seen us on, we were on Huffington Post, and someone saw us on there and stuff like that. Tosh.0.
So how many conventions have you guys done now since you started?
This is our very first one.
Oh, really?
Very first convention. And so far it's going pretty well. So we're already talking about like what the next convention is going to be and stuff. So we have one in Dallas that's coming up, so we're thinking about doing that.
Where are you guys based out of?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay. Wow. Portland, so Oregon. Travel for you guys.
Yeah. So it's a little suburb right outside of Portland, Oregon. It's actually over the water into Washington. So it's Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
But it's basically 2 minutes from Portland.
Yeah. Now, the different titles that we have here on the 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 flasks.
Yeah.
We have Castle Vodka.
Castle Vodka.
We have Drunk Hunt, which is what I purchased.
Yep.
We have the Legend of Drink.
Yep.
And what's the one that the farthest?
That one's Metal Beer.
Oh, Metal Beer.
We have next. Yep. And then the one after that is Super Bar Hop Bros, which is kind of homage to Super Mario.
Yeah. And you got a little hop in there too.
Yeah.
Which is bar nice for us.
And he's hopping in the picture.
So. I was kind of wondering who did the graphics or the art for some of these, because obviously they're changed a bit from what they originally would be on a regular cartridge.
Yeah, so we took what the original cartridge was and we made graphics off of it. Actually, someone who partially owns the company is a graphic designer and does the labels for us. And we have like six more in the works that are coming out in the next 6 months or so. So yeah, so we're really excited. There's a lot of stuff going on. We have different products in the work now and stuff. Like I said, we wanted to build on the company and not just like leave it flat. So, like give people back. You know?
So now that the Kickstarter is done,
yep.
And for people that aren't here, where can they go online and buy your stuff?
Inkwhiskey.com. You can find us on Twitter, Inkwhiskey, Facebook. /Inkwhiskey, but inkwhiskey.com is where all of our products are and stuff like that. So.
What's your best seller?
Definitely the Drunk Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was also the OG. This was the original idea.
Okay.
The rest of them were a challenge coming up with after that, because you have to be punny, and that's a lost art form.
Yeah.
You know?
we're familiar with puns.
Yep. So, really cool.
So, Tony, which one are you buying?
I think since you got Drunk Hunt, which is really cool, I think I'm going to go for the Legend of Drink.
Legend of Drink. I'm a Zelda fan myself.
You're a Zelda guy anyway.
Yep.
So
cool.
Awesome. Well, Johnny, thank you. We're loving it. I can't wait to fill my flask tonight. And and the great thing is, it's plastic, so it doesn't get picked up by metal detectors.
Exactly. Safe plastic, too.
Yeah.
Safe plastic.
So, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, wait, what was that?
Whoa.
Fucking good.
Hey. This is a family website.
That's not how we start the interviews.
Well, that's how we started this one.
Yep.
Yeah, so we are still here at C2E2, and we're hanging out with the crew of Dorkly. So, Tony, you take this one over, man. This.
Yes, listeners, you may remember they were the first interwebs that we ever did on our podcast. They are the website that I told everyone you needed to check out. For the humor, for the video game references, for the everything nerdy that is Dorkly. So, everything dorky that's Dorkly, I guess.
Yeah, we made up a word.
Yeah.
And that's our website now, except it autocorrects to Darkly if you ever try to do it.
Well, before we get too far, how about everybody here introduce yourself so our listeners can identify with who you are.
Hey, Drunk on Comics listeners. I'm Andrew. I'm editor of Dorkly.com.
I'm Chloe, I'm the editorial intern.
I'm Nathan, I'm illustrator for collegehumor.com, but today I am part of Team Dorkly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And we're Tony and Derek.
Yes, but you guys already know
that. They probably know that.
They should know that by now.
Yeah,
they're downloading this podcast.
I would hope so.
If it's their first time, I'm sorry.
Okay, so what is...
Always apologize. Yeah.
You got a lot of canon to catch up on.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a wiki that can help you out.
So what is the 30-second elevator pitch for your website?
Oh, sure. Well, Dorkly is... Oh, no.
I've been doing this all day.
Yeah.
Dorkly's...
What are we? Oh, we are... we're like a fun take on fandom. We do things on movies and TVs and video games and comic books and all kinds of stuff. And we make videos and comics and articles. And we just have a good time. We put up a bunch of stuff and it's funny and good and you'll like it. And we'll talk to you in the comments section,
now,
and it's fun.
How long has Dorkly been up and running?
Dorkly's been around since 2010, so it's been around for 4 years now.
Shit, I thought it was longer than that.
No, we're relatively young in the world of the internet, but also we're kind of old in the world of the internet. 4 years is
well, you're still lasting after 4 years, so
I guess that's a good
high
point.
Five.
Yeah, we're like at the age where we're not like. Where it'd be weird for us to, like, poop our bed now, so. That's always a good sign.
That always takes me back to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The
who pooped the bed? Yeah.
So
how did Dorkly get started?
Actually, Dorkly started because people who work for College Humor kept doing nerdy stuff, and they're like, you're doing too much nerdy stuff. A lot of our audience is not on board with it. Why don't you just make your own website for this stuff? And they're like, okay. It was originally run by a guy named Brian Murphy, who now works for College Humor's Original Videos. And I was freelancing for College Humor and Dorkly at the beginning, and then they needed someone to run the website after Brian left, and they're like, hey, Andrew, do you want to just do this website pretty much by yourself and with one other person? And I was like, yeah, of course I want to do that, because I used to be an accountant, and this is way better than being an accountant. And so for the last 2 years, it was me and Julia Lepetit, who's our head illustrator. But over the past year, like, people have started, like, actually coming to the site in, like, big numbers, and we've kind of grown, and so we've been able to hire a few more people, and we're doing this fan art expo here at C2E2 now, and we're doing, like, convention stuff, and we're trying to, like, become just a bigger presence in people's lives. We're doing more videos and more comics and just more of everything, because we want to have fun. Now, and talk about Pokemon.
Yeah. Okay, now poking fun at Pokemon. Like, when you do something, do you ever get backlash from the nerd community?
Well, what we're doing, we're not poking fun at Pokemon. More than anything, we're poking fun at ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we're the biggest Pokemon nerds in the world. We're the biggest nerds in pretty much everything. Back when Pokemon X and Y came out, we were like, there was so many of us just sitting around in the office just playing Pokemon and trading. And
getting paid to play Pokemon?
We tried to keep it on the down low. Oh, shit.
Well, it was break time. Lunchtime.
Yeah. Does Barry Diller listen to Drunk on Comics? If he does, we're in deep shit. But no, we would. It's research. It's work-related. But yeah, I mean, we don't really ever aim to make fun of nerds or geeks or whatever, because that's what we are. And what we like to do is just kind of like poke fun at ourselves and just kind of celebrate all this stuff, because we love it so much. And we do have a very self-deprecating sense of humor, but we never want to, like, aim at people, you know, because we're the biggest nerds in the world.
Well, we make fun of each other all the time.
Yeah. Did any of you guys get to play Twitch Plays Pokemon? Did you
Oh, my God. Twitch Plays Pokemon. Where do I begin?
Wait, what?
Are you not familiar with this?
I'm not.
I play Pokemon.
Save yourself.
Yeah.
For your listeners who are not familiar, Twitch Plays Pokemon was an event on Twitch TV.
It was an internet event.
Yeah, it was.
Is this what you were trying to tell me about?
It was a milestone. There is, like, you're going to separate the internet in pre-Twitch Plays Pokemon and post-Twitch Plays Pokemon.
The people that know it are nerd dorks. They are realm of nerdy.
You
don't,
it's not that you like Pokemon. You have to be beyond that. And basically what it was thousands and thousands and thousands of people playing the exact same game of Pokemon simultaneously by putting commands to the chat log. And it took like 17 days to beat the first game, but they beat it, which is an amazing feat unto itself.
They had to do something in the Safari Zone to get through that, right?
Well, that's why they became Anarchy and Democracy, because they needed to come to democracy mode for it to
work. Yes, there was a period, like on day 5 or something, whatever, in the Team Rocket headquarters, that they were just completely stuck in an error for like 36 hours. And it's very fascinating to read about Twitch Plays Pokemon after the fact, but to watch it was the most mind-numbing, terrifying thing in the world, because they would just be like spinning in circles and hitting select for hours on end. But one of the cool things to come out of it was the fan community just based around it. They created all this lore, and they created all these like weird...
Worship the Helix Fossil.
Yeah, worship these weird like memes that really kind of broke out of this weird little community, and it became this like cool little community that just happened to be around the most mind-numbing thing in the world. But it was really great. And we actually have a piece of Twitch Plays Pokemon fan art right here at the Dorkly Fan Art Expo by an artist called Jack Kaiser, who did amazing work. He basically tracked the entire course of Twitch Plays Pokemon through like these big moments in his fan art.
It was definitely one of the times that at work we like look at fan art a lot, and it was one of the times we were like, oh my god, they're amazing artists making this art, and it's about such a specific thing that a lot of people aren't seeing.
Yeah, it was hard for that stuff to really break out, so like that's one of the cool things we're able to do here is show that off, as Chloe said.
Coverage of Twitch Plays Pokemon was how I found out everything that happened in it, because I all of a sudden all of these Pokemon images started popping up on Reddit and Imgur, and Dorkly did an amazing job covering it.
Yeah, that's where I found out about it, was really? Through you guys, and I was like, what is this? And wow, that is...
And that was the crazy thing. It was like, it lasted for, I think, about 17 days, but it was 24/7.
Yeah.
It never went off the air. So what I would do is I would just stare at it all day, every day, and try to, like, capture every moment and write it down, like, try to summarize it for people, because I didn't want anyone to go through what I was going through.
I was nervous for you.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I didn't sleep a lot for those couple weeks. And I would talk to other people and figure out, like, what I missed when I slept. And I would try to, like, summarize every day and, like, show off some of the fan art. But it was a crazy thing.
So now that leads me into a question, because basically what we've got here is Dorkly is sharing all kinds of nerdy news through their own humor to people like, you know, Tony and myself, but yet you also have to stay on top of it. So how are you keeping up on the nerdly news so
oh my God.
You can, you know, keep producing more content?
I am not a fun person to be around, like, at dinners and stuff, because I'm constantly on my phone checking, like, all these websites. I'm always on, like, Reddit and Imgur and Kotaku and Joystick and all these sites, because I want to know what I'm missing. I'm one of those nerds who, like, has to complete every achievement in a video game. Like, I always have to know what's happening everywhere, and I have to have this sense of, like, completion before I go to bed. Like, I know everything there is to know about what happened today.
I see some heads nodding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's true.
Last
it's
one
all
in the office
true.
Every night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Almost every night.
Yeah, I have a lot of separation anxiety when I'm not with my phone. Like, right now, I just realized I'm like picking at my finger. I'm like stretching my finger back and forth because I don't have my phone on me. And it's been very liberating to be at C2E2.
It's still in your pocket, isn't it? Did you touch it?
No, it's charging right now because
oh
I used
God.
It too much today. And it's been like fascinating because I haven't been able to be on the internet much at C2E2, but I've gotten to interact with fans and talk about fan art, and it's been kind of nice. It's been kind of have to step away for a little bit. Although I just heard they found all those Atari ET cartridges out in New Mexico, and it's killing me that I'm not writing about it right
really
now.
Really, they did?
Apparently they found
it. Wow.
Which is crazy.
This is breaking news
that
is breaking
on this podcast
news.
That will probably be a week old by the time you hear this.
Are you talking about the ET thing?
I'm talking about the ET
yeah!
thing. This is Tony Wilson, another illustrator, video editor at Dorkly.com, and also Julia LaPetite, our head illustrator at Dorkly.com.
Hello.
Julia, do you have anything to say about the ET and Atari thing?
Super exciting, except I had no idea what you were talking about because you said it so excitedly just at me. I was just being thrown information at me. I was like, they found E.T.?
I do a lot of my communicating on the internet, in case that isn't expressly clear by now.
I want to go back to something we were talking about before we started recording, which is the funness that you guys have at your office, a.k.a. your houses that you are all belong to.
Okay.
Could we maybe bring up that
we're
a
gonna,
bit?
We're going to pose
Andrew,
a question.
A little too
yeah.
much, so let's hear from some of the other
That's
people.
Totally fair.
Okay, so Julia and I are both in Ravenclaw.
Yeah, we are.
And I also want to point out that when I was reading Harry Potter for the first time, they talked about the houses, and I was like, oh, Ravenclaw is clearly the best. All the characters will be in Ravenclaw.
Clearly. Luna's in it.
This is clearly going to be the best house. Then everyone's in Gryffindor, and I was like, I guess Gryffindor's okay. So that's my mindset about the houses. I don't even know, it was like the first month somehow we brought up which house everyone was in Dorkly.
Like the first month you joined us.
My house was the first month of Dorkly. It was my first month that I was hired.
Basically what you're saying, Chloe, is that Dorkly was there, but it really didn't start
until
you
arrived.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how I truly feel about it. Yeah, then we just talked about houses, and Andrew and Jake, who does social media for Dorkly, brought up that they were in Hufflepuff and they were completely
Chloe was horrified. I've never seen her so horrified before or since.
Yeah.
It was great.
And as you said, we brought up Hufflepuff, it's the house for wimps. That's like that's what Hufflepuff.
And that's
is.
Why I was like, so who gave them that designation? You said
they themselves. They just announced, oh yeah, we're in Hufflepuff. Not only did they say they're Hufflepuff,
shaking
they weren't
his head.
Even apologetic.
So vigorously.
Andrew says, maybe I'm misquoting you, but he always says Hufflepuff is chill. It's about chillaxing.
Yeah.
And that's why it's
the
good.
And now they're right next to the kitchen.
Not out to prove anything.
Yeah.
Hufflepuff knows where they stand and they're okay with it.
Yeah. When the wizard Wizarding War comes, there's going to be a bunch of corpses from Gryffindor, and no one's going to bother Hufflepuff because no one gives a shit about him.
Are you guys talking about how Chloe's wrong about Hufflepuff?
We're talking about Chloe's wrong about Hufflepuff, Jake.
Yeah.
This is Jake,
Jake
Young.
We looked up list of notable Hogwarts Hufflepuff students, and I'll have you know, unnamed Hufflepuff student 1 went to Hufflepuff. Unnamed Hufflepuff student who doubts Harry, too, went to Hufflepuff. And unnamed choir member, parentheses Hufflepuff, went to Hufflepuff.
Right, so.
I think what will really answer the whole thing for me is whichever house has the best beer on tap and best whiskey in the booze cupboard, that's going to be the best house.
It's got to be Hufflepuff.
No, Ravenclaw would do the research
exactly
on what tastes best.
They need to win.
Hufflepuff will come up with some dumb IPA that's too bitter, and everyone will take a sip and be like, oh, that's wow. And Hufflepuff will bring a case of Miller Lite, and the party will start.
Yeah. Okay, well, you had me with the shitty IPA. You lost me with the Sprite of beers.
Okay, fine. Let's say Yingling.
Okay, deal.
Fair, fair.
Deal.
Yeah. You notice how animated we got. That's like just the beginning.
This is how things work in the office. Someone brings up something and someone else finds it controversial and it never ends. We've been talking about this for months.
We have a lot of passionate opinions about things that don't matter.
I waved a sword at Julia when she said the Flash could beat Superman.
What?
I think
a race.
Those are fighting words, Tony. We might need to end this now.
Yes, but since we're speaking of beer, maybe later we can. You guys could graciously have a beer. Maybe we could do a little drunken interviews.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
It wouldn't be the first time. well, maybe for us.
I know that the title of your podcast is Drunk on Comics, so I can't imagine this going any other way. So let's
do
that.
All right, and so everybody at home, go to dorkly.com and have fun. We are.
Yep. Cheers.
Right. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, dudes.
All right, it is officially after party time.
After party. That's right, BarCon, baby.
Yeah. And we are here with Victor Dandridge.
Hello, hello.
Or as we've been lovingly referring to you as the 8-bit guy.
The 8-bit guy. That's me on Twitter.
Yeah. So, we actually found out about you through a good friend of our show, Dirk Manning.
You have to say his name correctly. It's Dirk motherfucking Manning. You have to say it right. It's all good.
We've been saying it wrong.
Yeah, you've been saying it wrong, man.
Hates
Yeah. You got to say it correctly. It's Dirk motherfucking Manning.
Well, and normally when I get like a little bit more creative with it, it's Dirk Shirley Temple Manning.
Oh, that's a real you have to know him to know about that Shirley Temple thing. So I respect that.
Yeah. Well, really don't. You just got to talk to him once.
Okay, well, I was trying to make it sound like mysterious and cool. Like, we were one of the cool kids. You just threw it all out the window.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
So anyway, Dirk's like, have you met Victor? And I'm like, no. He goes, you got to go talk to him. He goes, you will love his stuff. You'll love this guy.
Awesome.
So I come cruising over, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, you have this giant poster behind you with I don't know how many characters.
381.
381 characters. Yes. All 8-bit style.
All rendered in pixel art, dot, 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 squares, colors, magic. It's like old school video games, but only renderings of comics, cartoons, characters from pop culture, everything.
So, now, before we get into that, I have to talk about the conversation we had.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Because we'll splice this together properly so that people will already have heard about the flask that Tony and I got.
Yes.
Which was the Nintendo cartridge flask. Dude.
Freaking genius.
Your eyes, like
dude.
You were like a kid at Christmas.
Listen, when it comes to the pixel art stuff, anything with a Nintendo, like any sort of affiliation, I love it. Like, okay, so the reason why like my love of pixel art, and especially Nintendo, is so strong is my uncle was in the Marines in the 80s. And I'm actually one of the first persons in the United States to have had an NES because he got it directly from Japan.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So I have like a strong, like huge, huge appreciation for Nintendo because I was like, I had one and I'm telling friends about it. Like, yeah, I've got this gaming system. They're like, what the fuck is a Nintendo? And so like the next year it comes out mass market in the US and people are like, holy shit, this is that thing Vic was talking about. I'm like, yeah, I'm already on that. You know, so
I don't want to blow your mind. You know, they came out with the Super Nintendo.
Whoa!
They've even gotten up to 64-bit.
64. Listen. I'm already on the Wii. I'm already on that.
So, tell us a little bit about how you do your art, because I mean, when you're doing 8-bit art, how the fuck do you draw that?
Okay, so this is a weird thing. Okay, this is how it started. So I can draw. Been, you know, doing drawings for like 20 years.
We saw the doodle on your tabletop there.
Thank you. I try to, you know, do some all kinds of fun stuff. But I've never been as confident in my drawing ability for whatever reason. Call me a pussy. It's fair. but I've got a lot of friends that draw really, really well. So
pussy.
Thank you. It's so, say it again with feeling this time.
Hufflepuff.
You spoke to me in Harry Twatter. That's rude.
So rude. Vic motherfucking pussy dancer.
Yes! Yeah. Oh, I like that. That could work. It's like Dirk, but a little not. That's all right. Yeah. All right, so... So, rather than compete against my friends who I feel draw better than I do, we were going to a comics and games show, and I'm like, comics, games, 8-bit superheroes, let me try it. And I was going to do like 8 designs just to kind of play with it, and in 3 days I did 100, and it just blew up from there. Everybody responded really well to it, and I just kept futzing around, and it's developed into a thing. So, what's really funny is, like, I've gotten a lot of people that ask me, like, well, did you trace anything? And I'm like, motherfucker, I could have traced this? You're telling me I've been working this hard this whole time and I could have been tracing? Oh. So basically what I do is there's a grid that you can turn on in Photoshop that will allow that, like, when you do any sort of line work, brush work, or anything like that, it snaps to the grid and it'll stay very rigid. So I'll use the marquee tool that creates a square, and I just have to visualize what I want this to look like. And as abstractly as possible, build it in squares and then drop in color. And so it's a lot of trial and error. I don't think I can do like live sketches of it, like on paper or anything like that. But digitally, it's just building it square by square and making it look as fucking awesome as I possibly can.
Digital Legos then?
Kind of, yeah. It's digital Tetris. Okay. It's more of a digital Tetris art-wise. Yeah, yeah.
So, are you big into Minecraft?
No. In fact, it was doing... No, what makes it so funny is when I started doing this is when Minecraft really started getting big. And so I'm getting kids like, oh my God, this is Minecraft. I'm like, what the fuck is Minecraft? Like, what is this? It's because of my artwork that I even had to find out what Minecraft was. Now I'll use it as a sales point.
Yeah,
so when
like,
kids are like...
$5,
yes, it is my Minecraft. $20.
It's Minecraft. It's Superman Minecraft.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's super Minecraft. So...
Yeah. Yeah.
Do that.
So Minecraft as in dig in your wallet. Give
That's
me your
right. Give
money.
Me yeah. Give me what's mine, son. Yeah. Do it.
So,
yeah.
So what did you think? Did you see like over the last year there have been a lot of 8-bit variant covers?
Yes.
Coming out.
Yes.
I blame you.
You know what? I wish I could say that I had anything to do with that. I've actually tried to jump in and throw my hat in the ring, and I haven't picked up yet for anything major. The biggest like closest. Push that I've gotten is last summer I actually filmed for Comic Book Men and showed off some of my stuff to Walt Flanagan, and he loved it so much he was like, dude, you got to do a Cryptozoic Man. And I was like, alright, I'll do one. And he's like, well, what do you want for it? And I'm like, put my name in the book and throw me some comp copies. He's like, fucking done. So I did it, knocked it out. Never been used. So that's like the closest I've gotten. No diss to him. I think like he tried with the editor, but like when we produced it and all, it was just a little too late. But I'm still hoping. Like maybe there's a trade paperback that'll have it like as a pinup in the back, and I'll just get like mad accolades, and you know, it'd be awesome. So
all new 8-bit comic books.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Anybody that's listening, if you have a self-published title and you want an 8-bit variant cover, I'm your man. Talk to me.
What if they want the whole thing 8-bit variant?
I will totally do it.
Yeah.
I will totally do it. I am a whore about mine. You just let me know what you need. It will get done. Dirty girl.
What if they want 9-bit?
I'll figure it out.
No, not 9-bit's just 8-bit, but you pour a little water on the paper so it's bumpy.
So it's bumpy?
Yeah.
Ooh, no, that sounds like an 8-bit venereal disease. That sounds so bad.
Well, it's more like, I'm going to hell. It's like 8-bit for Helen Keller.
Oh, my God. I'm your big dark. What?
I feel really bad, but it's not like she's going to hear it anyway.
Oh my God, that was amazing. That was amazing. Is that thunder outside? I think it just struck lightning somewhere real close. Yeah.
So, Victor, where can people find you?
You can definitely find me on the interwebs under Vantage In-House Productions. That's my imprint. So if you go to vantageinhouse.blogspot.com, you can definitely find all my wares, whether it's self-published books that I do, more about my pixel art, all my different venues. Follow my ass on Twitter, at Vantage In-House. You'll see many funnier things. Follow me on Facebook. Like me on Facebook. If you don't click that like button, I will find you and lick your face. It goes down. I'm telling you right now, I'm a face licker. Deal with it. Deal with it. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much does it.
They just gave me a look like, please don't lick us. Yeah. Please don't lick us.
Let's end this now and quick run.
I was mostly concerned that you're like, I will lick your face and this will go down. I'm like,
you're like, wait. Is this an innuendo? Are we talking rapey here? I don't know.
How far down does the licking go?
Don't listen. You don't want to find out.
Yeah.
You don't want to know.
Because 8-bit tongues are a little scratchy.
Still wet.
They're like cat tongues.
Ew. Ew.
All right. Ew. I think that does it.
That's it. That's Victor, it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Cheers. I'm recording this right now just because I love the fact that security just walks through, looks at us, and keeps going.
Who are you with?
No one.
Try again.
We're both drunk on comics.
And who are you sitting with?
Who am I sitting with?
Sitting with.
Derek's sitting with Tony, and Tony's sitting with Derek, so.
No, you guys are missing the point. You're sitting with DMFM right now. Yeah, security walks right by.
Dirk motherfucking Manny. There it is. House.
Welcome to the, you're on the tip, man. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that started in Detroit. I'm surprised you guys didn't catch that till now.
Well, no, we told Victor earlier, we've always referred to you as Dirk Shirley Temple Manning.
Well, no, see, it's Dirk motherfucking Manning will drink Shirley motherfucking Temples. That's what it is.
Yeah, the tongue twister.
Yeah, which by the way, I will raise a glass to Shirley motherfucking Temple.
There it is. There it is right here.
Cheers, and may she rest in peace. So,
amen to that.
Yeah.
I almost retired Shirley Temple, drinking Shirley Temples, but I have to keep it going in her honor now.
What would you have drank instead?
Honestly, I mean, the straight up...
Straight grenadine?
Straight grenadine. The grenadine would rip up your throat. No, honestly, straight up, if I'm not drinking a Shirley Temple, I usually drink, like, at a convention, lemonade.
Yeah.
It's really good. It helps my throat out a lot, things like that, all the talking I'm doing and all that stuff. So.
Arnold Palmer's. That's my personal favorite. But I just learned of a new one. It's the John Daly.
I don't know what either of those are.
Okay, Arnold Palmer is half icy, half lemonade.
Right, okay.
The John Daly is...
half lemonade, half iced tea?
Plus vodka.
Oh, my God.
So, so Dirk, for our listeners, the last time we heard from you, you had a little Kickstarter for a book called The Tales of Mr. Reed, Volume 1.
Yes.
And thanks largely in part to us.
Absolutely.
That you made your goal.
I did. I was 13 cents away, and then we actually got pushed right over the brink after appearing on the show, so thank you.
Yeah, mostly because we were throwing pennies at you.
And I'm not proud.
Yeah.
I'll take them. Yeah. But really now, and the book's selling really well because of the quote on the back by you.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. You know, it's people see the name Drunk on Comics, and they're like, oh, shit, I got to buy it.
That's actually what people have told me. They bought the book, ripped the back cover off, thrown away the rest of the book, and bagged and boarded the back cover because of your quote.
You know what's funny is I've had so many people walk up to me this weekend going, hey, will you sign this book? And I'm like, did you get Dirk to sign it? They're like, who?
Who? Yeah. You guys say DMFM. They're like, oh, no. Yeah.
I guess you can judge a book by its cover.
The back cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the old man in the back of
the thing. Yeah, you fucking dick. So volume 2.
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
Volume 2 is going to be coming out from Devil's Due in August. We're going to launch Tales of Mystery Volume 2 as a 4-issue miniseries, and then it'll be collected down the road. None other than Eric Powell did the cover for the first issue.
Ooh.
Cover's delivered, cover is done, cover is in my hands. Done deal. And Eric was a super nice guy. I actually met him at Detroit Fanfare. And we got
for listeners that aren't familiar, Eric Powell is the creator of The Goon.
The Goon, yeah.
God, that series, I don't even know how long it's been running at this point.
Over 10 years, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
No, actually, I think it's 15 years.
Yeah, it's insane.
And just amazing. One of my favorite books. Eric Powell is just like Norm Rockwell and Jack Kirby kind of put together. Artistic style. I mean, just, it's amazing.
With a little bit of Johnny Rotten mixed in.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, then pour in some, like, bourbon or something.
Yeah. just to make it a little bit dirtier than what it really should be.
Yeah. And without giving anything away about Tales of Mystery Volume 1, Tales of Mystery Volume 2 is largely a flashback story It is bookended by the present, but it's about what Mystery did during the 3 days of darkness, during the Armageddon that lasted for 3 days. That it's talked about in Volume 1. It's actually talked about in Nightmare World as well. So that's the crux of the book.
Now, I've also heard there's a special Easter egg for a certain, maybe one person here right now. I don't know if listeners will really care, because he kind of sucks, but I heard there might be someone in the comic book that may be having
an early demise.
Yeah.
I brought a support group.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I did was a couple of very generous people provided quotes for the first trade paperback, including Derek. So we kill him, or Seth and I, the Moose Derek, kill him in the first issue. And Derek, you actually, I'll turn the tables on. You actually got to see your death scene today for the first time.
Yeah, I did. It was...
I don't want to spoil too much, but what was your reaction to that?
Well, you know, I was hoping... And actually, we have Seth the Moose just sitting down with his fresh beer.
Finally.
Finally.
What kind of drink is this?
It's a beer.
What kind of beer?
This is a drunk on comics. You have to be specific.
I just got the Sam Adams Boston Lager.
Yeah, because it's the cheapest for the best price.
That, and the guy didn't understand me when I ordered what I wanted.
Why? Because he said good beer?
Well, I was trying to try something a little bit different. So I was just kind of pointing because everybody's yelling and waving their hands around, and he's like, this one or this one, and I'm like, this one, and he's like, all right, pour the Boston Lager.
You know, I don't mind a Boston Lager, though.
No, I don't either. Yeah. I've been drinking Boston Lager quite a while now. But.
So Seth, to catch you up, there's this book called The Tales of Mystery.
Tales of Mystery.
Tales of Mystery. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No, sounds good.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
It's, I mean, at least sounds interesting. Mystery, I mean, I see the wordplay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, see what I did?
Yeah, yeah. Someone else didn't see the wordplay originally, and it was so hilarious when he finally got it.
A lot of people. Not that I'm pointing any elbows.
What? Why do you look at me?
Wait, that doesn't work very well on the on a podcast.
Yeah. No.
Oh. Ding, ding, ding,
ding. Right. But yeah, so Seth, we've kind of come around to the fact that in the little convention preview that you guys have, there's one panel in particular that was fantastic. And that's where a very, very attractive guy with a beard and a Daredevil shirt gets disemboweled and crucified with a beer box.
What fucking book did you look at? Because I did not see a handsome guy in a Daredevil t-shirt.
Are you saying that Seth can't draw people well? Because I think that's what's going on.
I think Seth's not paying attention, so I could say yes, and he wouldn't know.
That may have just happened.
I don't think he's even had a drink of his beer yet.
Yeah. But Volume 2 is hitting in August. Volume 1 is available now.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you've also got the collection, Dirk, of your stuff with the Big Dog Inc. for...
The Legend of Oz, The Wicked West.
Yes.
Someone has words today.
I found some words laying around. I put them together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually just got my hands on the trade paperback collection today at the show from Big Dog Inc.
So. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it has a lead-in story by Tom Hutchinson, a lead-in, you know, one issue. And then the other four issues are all my Origin of the Flying Monkey story. So.
Yeah.
It was real cool to see all collected together. All the covers with it and stuff like that. It's nice.
Knowing your history and everything with, you know, liking more horror, more that stuff, how has Ben taken your take on Oz, Ben? I mean, different.
I write horror the most because I like it. But I think one of the things that sometimes people don't necessarily realize up front, partially probably my own fault, is I don't just write horror. Per se, like you look at, Derek and I were talking earlier about the short story I did in Diaz de la Mortis, Riley Rossmo's anthology. It's not a horror story at all. I mean, there's a slightly gothic, macabre aspect to it. It's about a mariachi player who's performing at the Day of the Dead, looks out in the crowd and sees someone who looks like his girlfriend who passed away a year ago. So there's that slightly macabre element to it, but I mean, I tell everybody it's a love story. It's very, I mean, you can back me up or tell me to screw off. I mean, I don't know what you think.
Well, I would tell you to screw off just because that's fun, but.
That's no, fair.
But no, it's. You hit that one right on the head.
Yeah, but so with the Legend of Oz the Wicked West, it's not a horror story per se. A lot of people say, oh my gosh, the flying monkey scared the Ghiblis out of me when I was little. And they were scary.
Who the fuck did they not scare? Those things are terrifying.
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Oh, yeah.
And in the book, they're actually flying gorillas. So they're even bigger and scarier.
You want to know what? Oh, okay, I'm going to be honest. Flying gorillas?
Not quite as scary.
Because like I always go, oh, yeah, I can teach them sign language if nothing else.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, they'll understand me. We'll connect on some sort of cerebral level because they're gorillas.
Yeah, and I figure I'll throw them a kitten and they'll either make it a pet or they'll tear it in half. Either way, they're occupied.
Well, see, right? And I'll be honest with you, that was something I dealt with in all seriousness. That's something I dealt with because the flying monkeys are so iconic. In the book, they're gorillas. And we do have a natural tendency to sympathize more with gorillas because they're more intelligent.
Right.
So what the story arc is about is Dorothy Gale is the new witch of the West and the East. And because she killed a witch. She killed both witches. Guess what? There's got to be a witch. Guess what? Now it's you. And she talks to Kingu, who's kind of the head of the flying gorillas, the flying monkeys. And she says, like, what's your story? What's with you guys? And Kingu tells her the story about how they came to be enslaved by the original Witch of the West. So I really wanted to play into that aspect of it, of that sympathy we have. And most of the story is about, you know, obviously the gorillas, you know. And there's a subplot going on as well. The Tin Man and the Scarecrow and stuff are kind of captured and all that. But it's very much we play on that about... It's not a horror story per se. If it's a horror story, it's a horror story from the sense of what happened to the monkeys. How did they get captured? Why are they still enslaved by the witch? What's going on? So...
Hey, Tony, you know your phone's still on, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a us if my phone didn't go off during an interview.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love horror, but I just don't write horror. But that being said, there's some scenes in that story, or in the last issue especially, with the Winkies, that it's pretty horrifying. And that's when it's like, I wanted to play into the fact that, yeah, the monkeys are scary because they're creepy.
Salute.
But if you have an army of flying gorillas... And you say, go, what's going to happen? The monkeys pick you up and carry you away.
But they're not monkeys, they're gorillas.
Yes. Well, in the book, the gorillas murk. Well, I don't want to give away what happens. But it's brutal. It's brutal.
Seth, what's that?
As if you can't call a gorilla a monkey, it's not the same thing.
No, they're not.
Well, you can't call a monkey a chimp either.
No,
chimp
right. No, it's an ape.
But yeah. When you think about it, I mean, the monkeys in the movie were...
When you're playing up on stereotypes here, this is kind of offensive.
It really is racist if you think about it. Isn't, you know, but...
To what? Monkeys or gorillas?
To the apes.
To the apes.
Yeah. This is why I don't do it.
That's why they're going to rise.
Yeah, right, well, exactly. Well, and the thing is, too, when you think about the... when you think about the movie...
Well, they rise easily. They have wings.
Yeah, big wings. When you think about the movie, all the monkeys did was fly in and carry people away.
Hey, you know what disturbs me most about flying monkeys or gorillas? I think about birds. Ooh. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Birds shit when they're flying.
Yes.
Now, monkeys throw poo.
And monkeys throw poo. Imagine a gorilla. Yeah.
So do gorillas throw poo from the air? Because then they would just be like just fucking dookie missiles.
Well, yeah, they'd be dookie like bombs, man.
Yeah. Well, just hot piles of mess hit me from nowhere.
Well, and I'll tell you, I'll get into the background of the writing of this a little bit because it plays into this.
You're giving Seth some ideas for different drawings that he's going to start doing this weekend.
We're going to share ideas with him for commissions here after this is done. We've got a whole collaboration going with artists here.
I can only imagine. In the Oz books, because I look back in the Oz books, like what they say about the monkeys, the origin of the witch getting control of the monkeys was a monkey picked up this guy, threw him in the river, his wife got mad and cast a spell on the monkeys. Well, the monkey kind of pushes you in the river. I mean, it's just kind of mischievous. It's funny. You know, like I said, there's a difference between monkeys and gorillas. If a flying gorilla picks you up and throws your ass in the river, that's terrifying. And that's the difference, you know. I mean, monkeys are funny. Gorillas really aren't funny. They're not. It's a whole different animal.
Because you never you never really want to look at like putting like shorts and a shirt on a gorilla. That's just going to make it uncomfortable.
Years ago, I went to a zoo, and there was a gorilla there. You know, big gorilla there, big male gorilla. This is a true story. Now, and I was with a friend of mine, and they're like, hey, you know, the gorilla was staring at me. I mean, mean mugging me, like locked on. Like Seth looks at me all the time. I mean, it was just it was atrocious. It was mortifying. So what happens is my friend's like, hey, man, do something. Like, you know, so I kind of like flinched at the gorilla. And the gorilla's just staring at me. Like, you know, go do something else. I'm an idiot. So I kind of do like the chest beat, like the doo-doo-doo on my chest. Doo-doo-doo a couple times, like King Konging at it. Like, come on. Come on. And this gorilla is just never takes his eyes off me with one hand. Boom! I mean, and it echoes. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, I think it's going to break the glass.
Yeah. I am going to die. And I'm like, that gorilla would jump off that log and be through that glass before I'm turned all the way around.
Now for people at home, because they couldn't see what you did, he took
one fist hand, one fist.
On his chest.
Chest, one time, and it echoed so loud. It was like, boom! So I'm like, holy shit, what do I do? And all of a sudden, these two zookeepers walk up. And I start, like, kind of backing away. And the gorilla sees them, and I swear to God, this is true. The gorilla looks at them and makes some sort of gesture with its hands. Which is more than Seth is capable of right now with all of his drinks. But
now I'm a bad person.
But it makes some sort of gesture with its hands.
Not now.
Not now. Always. Always. So the zookeeper then, the girl, starts gesturing back at it. And then the gorilla does something else. And the first zookeeper says to the second one, oh, whatever his name is, Seth or whatever. I don't remember the gorilla's name. We'll say it was Seth. Yeah, Seth or Howie, I don't remember. But it was like Seth is really upset about something. And I'm like, holy shit. That gorilla is one of those gorillas that knows limited sign language. Oh, yeah. And I'm sitting here like, beating on my chest at it. I'm like, like, yeah. They're like, he's really upset about something. I'm like, oh my God.
The girl is sitting over the side and going, the asshole in the black jacket.
Right, that asshole with the black. See that asshole with the perfect hair? Fucking with me. Cut me loose, boss. Cut me loose.
Yeah. Now, well, guys, we got to get this wrapped up here so we can continue drinking
beers. And doing some more interviews. I think we might have later on tonight Seth the Moose, maybe.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know. I think
you just do a solo Seth the Moose interview. He's having a good time over here.
I heard Seth the Moose is in the building. I don't know.
No. I think he was here for a second.
I haven't seen him.
Yeah. So, Seth, where can listeners find you if they want to look at your stuff because they can't hear about it?
Follow Dirk Manning because I make him famous.
There you go. He's like my Undertaker.
Yeah. Guys, just go look up Seth DeMoose. It's DAMOOSE. Look him up on Twitter, probably on Facebook.
Facebook is on Facebook. Yeah. Twitter, Instagram. Facebook,
Instagram.
Instagram.
ArtofDeMoose.tumblr.
Cool. So. And Dirk, where can they find you?
At Dirk Manning.
Oh, wait, no, they've heard it 45 times.
No, this is new.
Oh, wait, what?
I've totally revamped my website, DirkManning.com. Seth actually has this tattoo on his ass cheek. I'm going to put up a picture later.
It's a tattoo of your face? What?
Yeah, close. I'll show you. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it if I told you.
It's pretty close to.
Yeah, it's pretty comparable.
It's pretty like.
Hi, Rachel! She's looking around. That was Rachel Deering. She's awesome. It was at DirkManning.com. It's been totally redone. Then I'm on Facebook and Twitter at Dirk Manning. And begrudgingly, I just started an Instagram and a Tumblr.
I don't get the fucking Instagram either. But yeah.
I vowed no dinner, no selfies. So I have like 8 pictures on there.
How do you take a selfie when you're always covering your face?
No idea.
I rest my case.
Question for the next time.
That's like the sound of one hand clapping.
Yeah, well.
Or the sound of Seth the Moose doing an interview.
What happened?
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Cheers. There it is. All right. Until next time.
Next time.
People at home.
Motor City, right?
Yeah, Motor City. Doesn't mean you get another interview, but
I'll get one before then.
It pretty much
I'll
does.
See you guys before Motor City.
Yeah. You'll see me in my dreams.
My nightmares.
I'm uncomfortable. Bye. All right. Well, we are here with Ryan Brown and Tony and I. It's getting near the end of the night of the after party.
Yes.
You know, well, we're at least well lubricated.
Yeah.
Easy for no one to say. But so, Ryan, last time we chatted, we were at Detroit Fanfare.
Uh-huh.
And you were working on Bedlam at the time. Still yep. are.
No.
Correct? No?
Done.
Done.
I did the full second arc, came out in trade in March, and I'm done.
Okay. And but the thing that I picked up was God Hates Astronauts. Mm-hmm. And that was a...
Why does God hate astronauts?
Well, oh, that's such an exhausting question.
Sure, I had to read the book, and I'll know the answer. Right?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not even addressed.
Yeah, and for people that listen to the podcast where I tried to explain it, I did a miserable job.
Uh-huh.
And so I think you tried to explain it on the last podcast.
Uh-huh.
But the big news you told us today is that God Hates Astronauts is going to be an ongoing series.
Yes, yes,
so
it is.
I'm super excited because that is the most awkwardly, randomly, uncomfortably fun book I've ever read in my life.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Yeah.
So what... Can you explain this?
Well, I mean, it's really me being very self-centered and making a lot of jokes that I think are funny. And it's been years of me making a comic that I think is funny. And finally, enough people other than me think it's funny. And so Image is going to take a shot on it, and we're going
to
do it.
So are you going to continue to write and draw?
Yes, yeah.
Now, are you doing everything on the art?
I'm coloring at least the first issue.
Okay.
And I've got a letterer for the first time ever, which is exciting. It's different. You know, I come from the background of having to do everything.
Yeah.
So write, draw, color, letter, get printing quotes, print it out, ship it out, do everything. So having Image involved takes a little bit off my back, especially on the promotion side and obviously the shipping side, so I don't ever have to touch the books and lift them and ship them, and it's awesome.
Lick stamps, you know,
yeah,
all that weird
no,
stuff.
None of that. Yeah. None of that.
Yeah. That, this now, when is it coming out?
August.
August. I'm so excited about this. This is
awesome, yeah. Man. Well, I don't want to let you down.
Well, I don't think you will, because, like, the great thing with this book is that the only expectation I have is that it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Like, the story is so far out there that you have no clue what's going to happen. And if something weird happens, you're like, well, yeah, it should.
Yeah. You know? Awesome.
That's the fun part. Now, the other thing I have to say, if people are ever lucky enough to find you at a convention, I've seen some of your convention sketches. Dude, those are disgustingly good.
Thanks, man.
Like, I mean, like convention sketches, a lot of times, like, you just don't know.
Yeah.
But I've seen yours, and I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Thanks, yeah. Man. Yeah. I try really hard. Like, my niche is now to do something funny. So
yeah.
If you're like, draw Batman, you're not going to get Batman. Well, you're going to get Batman, but something added to it. So here's a story for you.
The baseball bat?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Or a mustache and, I don't know, eating a sandwich. And so here's my story for you. HeroesCon last year, someone came up to me and asked me to draw a Xenomorph, an alien from the movie Aliens. And I was like, oh, man, that's tough. That's really tough to draw. There's so much detail. It's so easy to get wrong. So I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to draw you the best alien. I'm going to be really faithful. So I did it. I drew the best alien ever that I could do. And I got all the reference and everything. And he came back and got it. And I was like, here you go, man. I drew you this alien. It was really hard, but I really tried hard. And he's like, oh, okay, thanks.
and he was obviously disappointed. And so then I was talking to some friends later at the bar, whatever, and I went over and I talked to my friend Jeremy Hahn, and he said, "Did you get the alien guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah. How did you know I got the alien guy?" And he said, "Oh, well, this guy's got this alien sketchbook, and I sent him over to you." And he's like, "Ryan Brown is gonna do the funniest alien. He's gonna, like, it's gonna be alien, like, boxing bears or something. Like, he's really weird and he does all these funny things, and you should totally get a commission from him." And he sent him over to me. And then I just, like, I totally screwed up. That was the one time I was like, I'm going to make it the best alien ever.
So when people come up to you to get commissions, you tell them that you're going to fuck with it a little
usually,
bit?
Usually, yeah.
Okay.
Usually. I drew a Popeye today that was lacking spinach, and his arm was like an upside-down U, like a gross, like, burp, like...
Like Adventure Time arm?
Yeah, like, just, yeah. Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
It was really gross.
Adventure Time creeps me out. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah. It's those noodle limbs. They just that don't have joints.
Yeah,
straight bones. It creeps me the hell out.
Yeah,
reminds you of the car dealership things that float around.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little
yeah.
bit, yeah. But those don't creep me out because I know they're full of air. Like and not like
when you watch Adventure Time, think of full of air. Yeah. Everyone's full of air at all times.
Air and bullshit.
Whoa.
Pretty much,
yeah, definitely. You know, okay. Yeah.
I was going to ask you another question, but I think I've killed too many brain cells.
What? No way, man. Yeah. Let's talk.
Okay.
What do you got to say?
So, well, what's your favorite character right now, though, that you're doing in God Hates Astronauts?
I have a new character called 3D Cowboy.
What?
Yeah, he's going to be on every single cover.
Okay.
He's the narrator of the series, and he's in 3D. He's a cowboy, and so I had this idea to have one character on the page who's in 3D. So if you put on 3D glasses while you look at the page, there's one character who's in 3D.
So now is it going to come with 3D glasses?
No.
Awesome.
You've got to supply them.
You have to look through all those old Cracker Jack boxes.
Yeah, you want those 3D glasses. And so I figured out how to make it 3D, pop off the page, and I am doing the art, and he appears, and he pops off the page. If you have 3D glasses on.
This is the random kind of shit that I'm talking about that makes me love this book.
I just, I was drawing a cover to issue 3, and I had a 3D cowboy on one side. And then I needed some symmetry, so I drew 3D housewife, which apparently is his wife, is on the other side. It's on the cover of issue 3.
So when you were drawing her, you're just like, no, that's 3D housewife.
Is yeah, pretty much. Well, here's the thing. Working with Image is awesome. It's totally, they produce the book I want to make.
Yeah.
So I have no editor. I have no filter. I have no screen whatsoever.
We're familiar with the no filter thing.
Yeah. They have a proofreader that will make sure everything's spelled right. But basically, I turn it in, and I hope they like it. So, yeah, man, 3D Cowboy. I was drawing a page. I was drawing page 17 of issue 1, and I had a space that didn't have anything in it. And I just drew 3D Cowboy, just sitting there. And so now when I'm coloring in, I've got to make a little 3D effect in the corner for no reason.
I'll tell you, the one character that for some reason cracks me up more than anything else is Anti-Mugger.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a big story arc coming up.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to do anything unless it's a mugger.
Yeah. He stops. He's basically Batman. I was like, it's Burt Reynolds from Deliverance meets Batman, but he only cares about muggers, and that's what I based it off of. And so
I'm like, this is coming from a mind of an adult, but it seems like it's a mind of like a 4-year-old. Like.
Yeah, pretty much. That's I don't know. It's funny. I don't know. It's funny. So basically, he stops at nothing to stop muggers, but he doesn't care about anything else. And so in the first volume. He's kind of betrayed that mantra. And we learn in his origin that his parents were killed in the exact same way that Bruce Wayne's parents were killed. But they weren't killed. They were just mugged. And so thus, he has this... He's a vigilante against mugging, not murderers. And so basically... that's his full motivation. And so as we go on, he had joined NASA. He was stopping them from launching, stopping the farmers from launching themselves in outer space, which is what happened in the first issue. And it's
what
happened.
That's what God hates astronauts.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all these farmers that want to leave the Earth and go in outer space and homemade rocket ships built around, like, grain silos.
Do you understand now that we're talking to the creator why I couldn't explain to you?
Oh, yes, yes, no, yes.
It makes sense. It all makes sense.
Oh, it does when you read it, but yeah. You can't explain it necessarily.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, he starts working for NASA because they give him a paycheck, and then he realizes that he has kind of turned his back on his true cause, which was to stop all mugging. So he quits the team at the end of issue 3. And so when we see him, he has quit the team. And he's got quite a story.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah. I got a lot of really good ideas.
and you're probably coming up with more just standing here.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I outline every issue, and then I'm drawing issue 1. And I've, it's
fun. Well, we saw some of your panels and everything.
The pages, the original art. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's great.
It's different. Yeah. I've been changing the entire time I'm drawing it.
Yeah,
so.
And a shout out to my cousin who just got back into comics. Actually bought one of your pages, and he did send me a picture of it. I gotta admit, I'm a little jealous.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I'm very sad he bought it. It was tough for me. Yeah, so I've decided I'm gonna spend the money from that picture, not on rent, not on lunch. But I'm gonna buy something awesome. I'm gonna go buy another Jeff Darrow piece.
Perfect.
Or a Chris Burnham piece.
What was that? Was that a Manhattan Project?
Uh-huh.
Page that he got? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just fucking gorgeous. So.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. I do remember what I was going to, now that we chatted.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah. So, since you like to have fun with your things, and we were talking to a couple other artists about when people come up and they're like, yeah, I want a commission, I just want to do a bust or whatever.
Yeah.
Our suggestion was all busts should be glamour shots.
Okay.
Yeah.
I accept.
Yeah, so like Thing, Wolverine, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like
some sparkles, long hair.
Yeah, like soft filters, doing the chin rest, chin on that, on the fist.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Shit, I might just commission you for that tomorrow.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Well, hey, thank you again, Ryan. And where can people find your stuff online if they want to, follow you? And
honestly, the best place... I take a lot of pride in my Instagram feed. It's very heavily scrutinized and very funny. So you can find me on Instagram at Ryan Brown Art. Brown has an E on the end.
Because it's fancy.
Oh, big time.
It's
old,
like,
English.
Yeah, oldie.
It's like ye oldie shop.
Yeah.
But in brown form.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Brown Art at on Twitter, and then I don't know.
Yeah, just go to those two and you can find the rest.
Yeah, the Instagram Google is the best.
Yeah.
I'm a person that doesn't want to say words and make jokes, so Instagram is awesome for jokes.
You've managed to say words for almost 14 minutes, so you're doing well.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right. My beer's empty. Yours is almost empty. Tony's been gone for a long time, so I think it's time for another beer.
Let's do it.
All right, so it's been a while since we did that last interview with Dirk, but we are really loaded tonight, and we've had a few more beers in us, but we finally got the chance to sit down with Seth DeMoose. We're going to get the interview now.
Yeah, so... So now that we've got him here, Seth, tell us whatever you want about the work that you're doing on Tales of Mystery, and kind of what that whole process was like. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up.
All right, that was the best interview we've ever done,
especially with Seth. All right, see ya.
So hopefully you guys could hear us through our drunken rambles throughout the rest of this night.
I don't think we slurred that bad.
No. But just in case, it was a blast.
Yeah, so stick around. Later this week, we've got Volume 2 of the interviews coming out, which are pretty much all done from the show floor of the press room. So hope you guys enjoyed these, and I think you're going to like Round 2 even better.
See you guys later on.